First, if you're going to college in the 1960s, just before the Vietnam War era, the most common grade you might have seen in people's report cards was a C. But over time, receiving an A started to be more and more common. In today's college world, we're seeing higher GPAs, lots of A's, and it's become an accepted norm for a lot of people, maybe half a class, to graduate with some kind of special honors. Stuart Reustacher is a writer, scholar, and former professor of geophysics at Duke University. He's done extensive research on grade inflation. You can see the results on his website, gradeinflation.com. By the way, Stuart is originally from Milwaukee and a graduate of UW-Madison. Stuart, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks, Rob, and thanks for having me on.
Well, you have charts on your website showing this dramatic change from the 1960s through the 70s and to today. What kind of trends have we seen since a C was the most common grade?
Yeah, as you noted, before the Vietnam War, C was the most common grade. And then in the Vietnam era, probably because professors were concerned that if they failed students, or male students in particular, they'd end up fighting in rice paddies in Vietnam, they started to raise grades, and B became the most common grade in the Vietnam era. And after the end of the Vietnam era, grades dropped down a bit nationally on average from the mid-70s until the mid-80s. And then from the mid-80s until the present day, there's been a gradual rise in the prevalence of the A. Now A is about, on national average, about 45% of all grades given are A's and A-minuses at four-year colleges and universities. And A became the most popular grade and most common grade at four-year colleges and universities in the mid-1990s. And that trend continues to this present day.
And you kind of chalk up two eras, the Vietnam War era you mentioned. You say the era of, I think it's the student as consumer, is part of what's driving this. What does that mean? How does that play out?
Well, you had a change in the attitude of administrators towards students in the 1980s, where students were no longer acolytes in search of knowledge, but were customers. And that trend in attitude became stronger and stronger in the mid-80s and the 1990s. It became commonplace for students to evaluate professors. Professors believed that if they graded higher, they would get higher evaluations, which would help them come tenure time if there was tenure, or if they did not have tenure during reappointment, if they received high student evaluations. So when the student is a customer and no longer an acolyte, the customer is always right. And during that same time, tuition started to outpace earnings for your average family, and that trend continues to this day. And as tuition rose, parents and students started to think that they weren't just students, but they were also buying something with their high tuition. They expected to see a higher grade come graduation time.
And when you were a professor, did you feel pressure from above the administration or below the students to not give out a C, even though that might have been the right grade to give?
I stopped giving C's entirely. Let's see, I started teaching in 1998. I retired in 2015. I stopped giving C's entirely in about 1998. It just became too objectionable to students to give that kind of grade at Duke University, where about half the student body graduates with today with about a 3.65 GPA or better.
Talking about grade inflation with Stuart Reustacher. He's been studying this since he was a professor at Duke University and beyond. Stuart, is this something that damages the educational experience for students? Does that student coming out of college learn less if there's not that pressure, that worry that they're going to get a C or below?
Well, there are indications and data that tell us that students are studying less than they once did. A student at a typical four-year college or university is studying about 10 to 12 hours a week nowadays. And part of that reason is because they know by putting in the minimum effort, they will get a B or better. So they are likely learning less than ever before after the end of their 4 years.
You also write on your website that in that Vietnam War era, there was an attitude among some professors that, hey, maybe grades aren't the best way to measure student performance anyway, so what if I give them a B instead of a C or an A instead of a B? Are grades a good way to measure student achievement at the college level?
Well, there's been a tremendous amount of research on that topic. We don't have an alternative. We could have extensive write-ups at the end of the semester where a professor or an instructor gives a long, page-long description of how well they thought that student did. That's probably not practical except at a few small colleges. That's probably a better alternative, but it's just not practical. So in lieu of that, we established about 100 years ago, a little over 100 years ago, this 4-point or 5-point, depending on where you were, grading system where A meant excellence. And it was a good indicator for employers of whether a student was a good student or a bad student. And it seemed to provide for a significant, not all, but for a significant share of the student body motivation to work hard. So it was a system that worked well. Does it work well now? It's starting to fall apart right now, to be honest.
You were quoted recently in a Wall Street Journal piece that looked at these Latin honors, forgive my Latin mispronunciations, the cum laude and magna cum laude recognitions for students, finding there were once that was a sign that, hey, this is one of our best students. Now it's, a third to a half of our students are getting these kind of honors. Does that dilute the meaning of those honors?
Yes, it does. So when you have half the student body graduating with honors, it creates a problem for employers when they try to identify outstanding students. That student with honors may be just a run-of-the-mill student at that university, and that student could well have a 3.7 GPA. So on paper, they look great. When the student comes to work for an employer, they find out that this particular student wasn't particularly well-motivated, doesn't know a whole lot, doesn't have the skill set required for the job. So there is a disconnect between how we grade today and what employers and graduate students, graduate schools and professional schools need in terms of evaluation for being able to identify the best and the brightest. And I don't like to focus on penalizing students by giving them low grades. I think the best tool of grades is to identify those who are exceptional. And when we start to lump the exceptional with the mediocre, it becomes very difficult to see who really, based upon some sort of method, in this case a 4-point grading system, who really is the outstanding student. And it penalizes the outstanding student because they don't get the recognition, the special recognition they deserve.
We're talking to Stuart Roystacher, writer, scholar, former professor at Duke University. He's done extensive research on grade inflation. Joining us to talk about high honors, magna cum laude, and others becoming the norm at universities, A's becoming the most common grade at colleges around the country. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you a student or past student who's felt like good grades and awards were given out too freely? Did you graduate with these kind of high honors? Did it feel special? Do you see, whether as a student, a teacher, anybody on a college campus, or looking at it from the outside, this kind of grade inflation? If you're at the high school level working in schools, do you feel pressure there to inflate grades? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org. We'll pick up a conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation with Stuart Roystacher, former professor of geophysics at Duke University, talking about grade inflation at colleges and how graduating with honors has become the new norm for many schools. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you noticed this as a student, as an instructor, somebody on the campus? Have you seen it at the high school level? And in general, do you think it's bad if everybody's getting A's? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@wpr.org. Stuart, to recognize those very high achievers you're worried about, do we need to create a new currency of grade inflation, a super A or A with something else, something that goes above and beyond the A?
Well, there are schools that have A pluses, and that has given a new category of grade, so it's possible to graduate with a 4.3 GPA. And high schools already do this, right? They have numerous bonuses off the four-point system where people can graduate with a 4.8 GPA. And you know, it's possible that by creating a super grade and admitting that A is just for a good student, which is really what we've done now, we will have created at least for a few more decades a workable system. You know, in a way, grades are currency, and there's a natural tendency for any currency to inflate over time. And it, your suggestion is something that has been brought up by others, and I'm fairly positive about that idea. It seems almost impossible to be able to knock down grades again. So we might as well create a super grade that is a new grade for excellence.
Let's go to our callers now. Kyler is on the line in Madison. Hi.
Hi. I just wanted to mention that teachers, I think they've been giving out higher grades because a lot of the students need those high grades to achieve what they need to. I'm an engineering student at Madison, and I know that if an employer is going to hire me, I have to have high grades, and a lot of teachers give them out because they're sympathetic to that.
All right. Thanks for the call, Stuart. Is that something you've seen?
Certainly. And there have been discussions at faculty meetings, academic councils at various colleges and universities that raise this very point, that where a university or college is aware that their grades are relatively low compared to their peers. And at these academic council meetings, faculty discuss that they probably should raise grades across the curriculum in order to give their students a competitive advantage, because employers and graduate schools tend to look at that grade point as an indicator of whether a student is employable or admittable into their graduate and professional program.
Let's go back to our callers. Polly is with us in Crown Point. Polly, hello.
Hi. I'm a high school teacher. I'm in Indiana. I worked in Wisconsin for 15 years, which is one of the reasons why I'm still listening to this. But two things I wanted to say. Actually three things now. I agree with the previous caller in that, you know, it's the grades have become the all-important thing. I honestly think learning isn't as important as the grade, you know. And I think we need to get away from that. I don't know how, because, you know, you try to get kids to want to learn something, and they're like, well, what do I need to get the A? And it's like, well, that shouldn't be the point. But the second thing I wanted to say was the second thing I wanted to say was I have seen so much more anxiety in our students. I teach high school, as I said, and I teach Spanish. So I teach a class that most students will take so that they can go to college. And I have seen so much more pressure on students in the last 10 years. I've been teaching for almost 25 years in the last 10 years than I had seen before. And I think part of that's because it's so expensive to go to college that they want to take all the AP classes and they want to get A's and all that so that they can get scholarships so that they can go to college.
Polly, I'm going to cut you off before point three because we just have a few minutes left. Stuart, Polly's seeing anxiety from her students, a fear of the consequences of not getting that high grade.
That's a common thing. It really is. And I would identify loosely two classes of students. Those who are just happy to get their B or better and slack off and aren't anxious. They're just happy to graduate with 3.3 or 3.4. And that group is big. And then there's a smaller group that understands that because of grade inflation, or another way of calling it grade inflation is call it grade compression, everybody is bunched up at the top, and they want to distinguish themselves. They know that at some of these schools, to get an A-minus means that they won't get honors. You know, you get an A-minus, that puts you in 3.7 territory. You might not get honors at your college or university. And they are increasingly nervous about getting only A's, and their anxiety ridden. So it's interesting what grade inflation has done. It's created this class of students that is quite happy to just wake up, barely do the work, and graduate with a B-plus or better, and this other class of student that knows that somehow they must distinguish themselves when everyone's bunched up at the top, and they're nervous as anything.
Polly, thanks for the call. We'll go to Maggie in Madison just briefly. Maggie, hi.
Hi. I was just going to say I graduated from Princeton in 2005, and it was the first year of their school-wide grade deflation policy. And they actually attempted to do this and included a letter with all of our transcripts that went to graduate schools and employers explaining why our grades dropped so significantly our senior year. And it was my understanding they thought that other Ivy League schools in particular would follow suit, and I don't think anybody did. So
wow. Maggie, thanks a lot. Pushing back against the tide there, Stuart, is there any hope in our last few moments that somebody could actually deflate grades again?
Well, Princeton tried, and I think they were actually quite successful, but they received so many complaints from students, parents, and alumni that they finally ran up the white flag and went back to their old inflated ways. There are schools, Wellesley and Reed, that have maintained relatively low grades, but realistically, I don't think that can be done across the country at this point in time.
We'll leave it there for now. Stuart, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you, Rob.
That was Stuart Roystacher, writer, scholar, and former professor of geophysics at Duke University. He's done extensive research on the topic of grade inflation. You can see more and a lot of charts to show how grades have changed over the years at his website, gradeinflation.com.